WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Governor Spanberger dedicates the new home of a Charlottesville agritech startup. Some people with so-called alpha-gal syndrome find relief through acupuncture. And in the next installment of our series on Virginia's redistricting referendum, we talk with Central Virginia Democrats Tom Perriello and Salam Bhatti. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, April 16th. 10 years ago, two UVA engineering students came up with an environmentally friendly idea to protect apples, berries, and grapes from common fungi and pests. On Wednesday, Governor Abigail Spanberger and others christened the new Charlottesville home of AgroSpheres. Christine Cuter reports.
It actually smells like the herb thyme inside AgroSphere's new manufacturing plant on Route 29 in Charlottesville, where company founders Payam Portahari and Amir Shankil brew batches of the novel biofungicide they launched in 2025.
It does. It smells good. Some growers just like to spray it because it smells good. It smells better than the chemistry.
Yeah.
Good energy, good smells, good vibes.
On Wednesday, Governor Abigail Spanberger joined Portahari, Shakil, and about 200 others to officially christen the new research and development facility. It's the latest vote of confidence in the two UVA schoolmates who, over the last decade, have amassed more than $37 million in capital from the state and investors and added 53 jobs to the local economy.
That early access to capital was a catalyst for others to invest, right? We believe in AgroSpheres, and other people should too.
As undergraduate engineering students at UVA, Portahari and Shakil got interested in environmentally friendly alternatives to agricultural pest control and tested some of their ideas on grapes at Early Mountain, King Family, and Veritas vineyards. AgroSphere's first commercially available product, Funtime, launched last year and uses the antifungal properties of the thyme plant to protect apple, berry, and grape crops from things like gray mold, which can decimate a harvest. After shipping out several pallets of Funtime to customers this coming Monday, Portahari says they'll be turning their attention next to developing eco-friendly insecticides. Welcome news as spotted lanternflies descend on Central Virginia over the next couple of weeks. Reporting from Charlottesville, I'm Christine Cuter.
During that visit to Central Virginia, Governor Spanberger also announced a more than $1 billion investment to increase manufacturing capacity at L3 Harris Technologies Production Facility in Orange County. The expansion is expected to create more than 350 jobs at the defense tech company. It would also build on L3 Harris Technologies' previously announced investment to expand tactical solid rocket motor production in Virginia. Spanberger also unveiled Virginia's statewide strategic tourism plan for the next 4 years in Charlottesville on Wednesday. The plan identifies ways to grow family-friendly attractions, invest in sports and event infrastructure, and enhance lodging and outdoor recreation. During the event, Secretary of Commerce and Trade Kerry Chenery said tourism is a cornerstone of Virginia's economy.
The role that tourism plays in that, in the places to live and grow and learn and love and enjoy, it's such an integral part of our Virginia story.
The new plan was developed by the Virginia Tourism Corporation. You can find more information at vatc.org. Governor Spanberger made several changes to one of the most consequential pieces of electric utility regulation this year. Patrick Larson with partner station VPM News breaks down the adjustments.
A bill sponsored by Delegate Destiny Levere Bowling would extend Dominion Energy's strategic undergrounding program and potentially shield ratepayers from subsidizing some data center-related costs. Governor Spanberger is watering down the language, leaving it up to state regulators to determine how to make data centers pay their fair share. And she wants to limit the strategic undergrounding program, a popular but expensive initiative meant to reduce power outages.
Now, undergrounding is very valuable for a whole host of reasons, but the most important thing for me as governor is that the full cost of that type of upgrade is not borne on the backs of individual ratepayers.
Spanberger also moved to retroactively cut Dominion's profits for the current two-year rate cycle. Levere Bowling, a Henrico Democrat, told VPM News she would oppose most of the governor's amendments when the legislature reconvenes next week.
Patrick Larson reporting. Governor Spanberger disagrees with Democrats who run the General Assembly about labor relations. Radio IQ's Michael Pope reports.
On the campaign trail last year, Abigail Spanberger said she did not want to overturn Virginia's right-to-work law, which has been a source of frustration for labor groups since the 1940s. Now she wants to delay collective bargaining for many local government employees until 2030, after she's no longer governor.
Allowing for state employees to go first in the process of going through creating their bargaining units if they choose to collectively bargain, and really ensuring that we have a process that works, giving ourselves time for any level of adjustments. And then 18 months later would be the point in time when local public sector employees could begin their own process.
Senate Majority Leader Scott Surville says local sector employees have been waiting for a seat at the table since 1949, and the governor's approach gives too much authority to a labor relations board that could change with the next election.
That's extraordinarily dangerous, because we're not going to have a Democratic governor forever. We could have Glenn Youngkin Light back in there. We could have Governor Mieres, Governor Klein, Governor Cuccinelli, I don't know. And I don't trust any of them to be making the right decisions when it comes to labor relations. And so it's very important that we put the right rules in statute.
Labor groups representing teachers, firefighters, and service workers are calling on the General Assembly to reject the governor's substitute and insist on their version of the bill when they reconvene next week. Michael Pope.
A campaign promise from President Donald Trump was to nix federal taxes on tips and overtime hours. And some Virginians are taking advantage, also with Radio IQ. Brad Kuttner reports.
Virginia's Secretary of Finance, Mark Sickles, acknowledged the change at a Senate Finance meeting Tuesday.
We've seen the average refund size at the federal level increase to about $350, or 11% increase through March.
That's likely due to changes under President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill, which created a $25,000 max deduction for tipped and overtime income. Richmond area industrial machinist Riker Long makes about $100,000 a year in regular pay, but makes more with overtime.
Overtime is built into my schedule, and there are certain times of the year where everyone has to work overtime. It's just part of our job.
He believes he got about $3,000 more in his federal refund this year, thanks to the end of taxes on overtime. Curtis Grimstead is an enrolled agent with Grimstead Accounting in Richmond. He's had many clients take advantage of the new benefit, including some you may not think of.
People who work at hair salons or barbers, they're getting a significant amount of tips as part of their pay, and even more than like an average restaurant worker. And I've been seeing people in that industry maxing out on what you can actually deduct as the tips.
He said that can lead to an increase of between $3,000 and $5,000 on this year's refund. And while Riker Long is happy about the bigger refund he's getting, he doesn't expect it to go far because of other Trump administration policies.
I'm going to be giving most of this money back over the course of the year through like tariffs and the increase of the cost of gasoline, which are like 100% the fault of Donald Trump and the Republicans.
In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Saturday is the last day of early voting, and next Tuesday is Election Day for a statewide referendum over proposed congressional district maps in Virginia. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee continues her conversations with candidates for the House of Representatives being affected by the proposal. This report is the third in a four-part series.
If Virginia voters approve the new district maps and the courts allow them to be implemented, we're likely to see 10 Democratic representatives and one Republican elected to the House this November. While these maps favor Democrats, they do impact how blue candidates conduct their campaigns. WMRA spoke with two Democratic candidates from Central Virginia, Salam Bhatti and Tom Perriello. Salam Bhatti is a public interest lawyer from Short Pump, who's worked for a veterans clinic, the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and the Food Research and Action Center. His experiences growing up a child of immigrants and benefiting from free school meals and the federal Women, Infants, Children, or WIC program have helped shape his platform.
Poverty is not natural, it's man-made, which means we can solve it. And so our three policy priority focus points of Medicare for all, taxing the billionaires, and getting big money out of politics aren't there to cure a symptom. It actually goes right to the root of the cause.
Bhatti is running in the current 1st District, which wraps around Richmond and spreads east to the Chesapeake Bay. If the districts are redrawn, he'll be in the new 5th District, which cuts westward from the city to a diamond shape in Central Virginia. The current 1st District is represented by 10-term Republican incumbent Rob Whitman. The proposed fifth doesn't appear to have any incumbents living within its borders, but Representative John McGuire, who represents the current fifth, could legally still run there. McGuire did not respond to our interview requests. Botsy believes Democrats can flip the first district as it's currently drawn and has strong words for the GOP under the Trump administration.
We announced our run knowing that we could flip this district. And this was before, of course, the November election where the district actually flipped D plus two. So it shows us that people are ready for someone who will stand up with conviction for actual change. And what we're seeing today is really something parallel to England after World War II. Now, England was, you know, decimated by the Nazis. And when the new leaders were elected, they came to a decision that we haven't been elected to do patchwork legislation. We have been elected at a revolutionary time to do revolutionary things. And the parallel to America today is that we've also been destroyed by Nazis. And when we go to vote in the primaries, not just the midterms, but the primaries, this is going to be a revolutionary time for revolutionary change.
I asked for his thoughts on the criticism of redistricting from some rural voters who don't want someone from Richmond or Northern Virginia representing them from many miles away.
You know, I agree with them. The bigger issue here is that we have capped how many members can be in the House of Representatives. We have about 800,000 people in the district, when in years past, it was 30,000 people. So it's time to uncap the House.
A jaunt down Interstate 64 in Charlottesville, former Democratic Congressman Tom Perriello is running to reclaim his old seat in the 5th District. Perriello was in the House from 2009 to 2011, then served in the Obama and Biden administrations' Departments of State in Africa, and co-founded aid groups for Sudan and Ukraine.
I think the referendum will probably pass, but the nice thing is that it's up to the voters. This is not like Texas, where they did a backroom deal.
Texas's state legislature approved new maps, expected to give Republicans up to 5 more seats in Congress without a referendum. If Virginia's districts are redrawn, Perriello would be running in the new 6th. He's been making the rounds there, too, including the Harrisonburg coffee shop where I spoke with him.
I can tell you that, you know, the district lines may shift a little bit, but the priorities don't, because unfortunately we see families across the region struggling to be able to make ends meet, paycheck to paycheck. And a big part of that is because healthcare costs have been going through the roof. And I was, you know, proud to vote for the Affordable Care Act, but also to keep fighting after I was in Congress to get the Medicaid expansion. When you look at an area like this that's had 3 rural health clinics close, that's not just a disaster for the families who can't access those clinics. It means more people going to the emergency room, which then sends premiums up for the middle class. And then you had Klein and McGuire come around and remove the tax credits for the middle class. Neither of them was willing to vote to bring down health care costs for the middle class. Neither Klein nor McGuire even had the guts to vote for the Epstein discharge petition.
Besides whichever Republican incumbent Perriello might be up against, redistricting would change the primary race too, pitting him against Beth Macy for one. As of the most recent campaign finance reports, Perriello has raised about $1.4 million this election cycle. Macy, $1.1 million.
I've spent my entire career fighting for communities like this, fighting to increase wages, fighting to bring down the cost of health care, cost of child care, and trying to bring back manufacturing jobs, particularly by pushing for green industrial policy.
In the 4th and final installment of this series, we'll talk to 2 candidates from Northern Virginia, Republican Tony Sabio and Democratic Representative Eugene Vindman. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You can find the first 3 installments of the series and our overview of the redistricting referendum at WMRA.org and on our app. An increasingly common allergy caused by tick bites continues to sweep across parts of the South and Mid-Atlantic, including Virginia. But some with the so-called red meat allergy are getting symptom relief with acupuncture. WMRA's Christine Cuter reports.
It was the scariest steak supper Travis Brown ever ate.
I'm either cured or I'm going to the hospital. Fork in one hand and the EpiPen in the other.
The 40-year-old Culpeper native had been diagnosed with an alpha-gal allergy in 2012 after enduring mysterious episodes of crippling stomach upset, swelling, and hives for nearly a year. Brown spent the next decade avoiding red meat, dairy, and certain animal byproducts like gummy bears and Jell-O. He stopped going to cookouts, rarely ate in restaurants, and downed a lot of chicken and fish.
Well, years ago, I'd heard of acupuncture being a potential cure for the condition, but back then, I guess I was naive, and I was like, no way. There's no way. A friend of mine had told me that he was going to try this out with a doctor in Charlottesville. And I was like, you know, wishing him the best. Like, I hope it works. But back in my brain, I was like, impossible. He sent me a picture one day of him eating a steak. And I was like, all right, sign me up. I'm in.
Brown booked an appointment with Charlottesville acupuncturist Michael Jabali in 2023, who inserted an eyelash-sized needle, a procedure called the Solomon Auricular Allergy Treatment, or SAT, into the concha of his left ear and covered it with a tiny bandage. 1 month later, Jabali removed the needle, and Brown fired up his grill.
I went home and immediately grilled a T-bone, and I cut a piece about the size of my fist. And it was the scariest meal of my life. That day, I only ate the fist-sized portion, and I waited. No stomach issues. I tried it again the next day, just like a double check, and nothing. I've been eating red meat every day since.
The Centers for Disease Control estimates that nearly 500,000 Americans have alpha-gal syndrome, though another study asserted that 30% of Americans had it, even as many clinicians still haven't heard of it. Scientist Thomas Platts-Mills at the University of Virginia, the first to identify the link between the allergy and the bite of the Lone Star tick, believes at least 5% of Central Virginians have it. That's more than 17,000 people. Alpha-gal syndrome is characterized by an allergic reaction 3 to 6 hours after eating red meat, and sometimes dairy, with symptoms that can range from mild to seismic. Itching, hives, swelling, debilitating gastrointestinal distress, and even full-on anaphylaxis. But some who test positive for the alpha-gal allergy may never develop allergic reactions, though they remain at risk of developing one. It can even be a killer. Platts-Mills stops short of recommending acupuncture, but he doesn't discount it.
I think if you have a syndrome like this where you can have the antibodies and you don't get symptoms, and you can be changed from being in the symptomatic class to the non-symptomatic class, I think that's great. I'm in favor of that. I don't recommend it because, you know, we've trained so thoroughly not to recommend alternative medicine. But the truth is some alternative medicine works. I think they actually have a treatment that works, doesn't work permanently, doesn't work for everybody, but then that's true of every other medicine we've got. Hopelessly true.
While there is no known cure for alpha-gal syndrome, there is some evidence acupuncture may help. A 2021 study found that 96% of patients who had acupuncture for alpha-gal allergies reported that their symptoms went into remission. While the study lacked lab values and didn't include a control group, some, including nurse Rebecca Smith, are nevertheless convinced. Smith of Dilwyn was diagnosed with alpha-gal syndrome in 2018 after getting a tick bite while camping.
You know, I'm a good old country girl, so we have meat with pretty much every meal. So I eat fish, turkey, and chicken a lot. That part kind of sucked. I miss steak a lot.
It went on that way until late 2025 when acupuncturist Jessica Dodds put 6 needles in Smith's right ear for 5 weeks. By Christmas, Smith was eating ham.
I had never tried anything like that before. Being in medicine, you kind of tend to think those theories are better, like doing the like antihistamine medications to treat stuff, but it didn't work for alpha-gal really. So, you know, I just figured it was something I had to modify my diet and go on about myself, you know. Now I don't have to worry about what's in a meal at a cookout or how food's cooked at a restaurant or any of that, which is really nice.
Acupuncturist Mila Zimmerman got SAT certified this spring and gets daily phone calls about alpha-gal.
I'm not a person who frowns upon Western medicine at all. We need it, and I think it can be very diagnostic. I'm noticing people are running out of solutions, or the doctors are running out of solutions for some of the things they're coming across. That's where people are seeking alternative care because they're getting frustrated.
Jabali, the acupuncturist who treated Travis Brown, estimates that 1/3 of his clients are looking for allergy relief.
You know, the bird watcher's proverb, when the bird and the book disagree, always believe the bird. Don't dismiss your experience.
He urges everyone to keep an open mind. For WMRA News, I'm Christine Cuter.
We've posted photos from this story and links to more information at WMRA.org and on our app. Finally today, King Charles III and Queen Camilla of Britain will visit Virginia later this month. The royal couple announced they will make stops in Washington, D.C., Virginia, and New York during a four-day trip, April 27th through the 30th. Buckingham Palace said that while in Virginia, the king and queen will visit an unspecified U.S. national park. Could that be Shenandoah? Meet with Native Americans and join a block party to celebrate America's 250th anniversary. There are also planned stops at the White House and to meet with family members of the September 11th attacks in New York. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.